you were listening to Cut 8, Carousel, from the CD, Echo by Govee. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host for the next hour, and delighted that you could join us for a bit of conversation designed to enlighten and inform you about your options for self-help. As usual, there's a few announcements here. One, I would like to thank all the listeners who emailed your questions last week. That was a great way for us to stay in touch. And I learned something new, that a lot of you are using your computers to listen to the show through your phone line, so your phone isn't really available. So email is a great way for us to stay in touch. We had some great questions that we couldn't get on the air. One from Shirley in Oklahoma, and she asked us about sound and music for meditation. We really couldn't answer that within that show, and we've talked to a few people, and we're going to offer an online class to teach people how to hear their own sounds. It'll be absolutely free and probably no more than 20, 30 minutes long. We'll be doing it online. So if any of you would like to join us with that, please get in touch. And we also had questions from Keith, Karen, and Joyce about having their sounds done on the air. They had heard that I do that, and they wanted to know when we're going to bring that back. That's very difficult for me to do with the phone screeching that happens. And I really can't do it if I am the host at the same time, because I have to concentrate on you, the person, and that leaves dead air time. And I don't want to do that. So we're also going to put a class together of those of you who want to hear your own sounds and what that means. It'll probably take like 5-6 people at a time who want me to do their sound and then tell them what that means. I'll probably get another host for the show at that point so they can be talking to you. I'm thinking about integrating it with an idea that we have to bring a couple of musicians and composers on that compose music for healing. So if you're interested in doing any of those, please get in touch with us at soundhealth@soundhealth.org. That's also the email address that you can use tonight to stay in touch with us and talk to our guest. Our guest tonight is actually a continuation from last week when we talked about the PreVac computer program that SoundHealth has developed to analyze the voice in revealing biomarkers for vaccination risks. And I use that musical cut, Carousel, because our guest tonight is going to talk to us about the merry-go-round that has been created in terms of vaccinations and inoculations, a system of forced medicine to our children, well, actually the entire population when you consider what's being done in Homeland Security. It's my opinion that our children are our most important resource, and we are using them as pen cushions to test vaccines in the name of eradicating disease for the rest of us. The idea that vaccinations would eradicate disease, it's not really my idea, but it's in the literature, an attempt to get us as parents and grandparents and school authorities to think that these vaccinations are appropriate. But the bit about using our kids as test subjects comes from me. I have two grandchildren that were damaged by vaccination, so I'm not very happy with the system. And I think there wouldn't be a fund that pays people for this damage unless somebody knew that this was dangerous. And our guest tonight is Dr. Rebecca Carley. She knows much more about this subject than I do. She's not only an MD, but she's a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. I've entitled the show, Vaccination Caused Disease, Inoculation, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction. And those are words right off Dr. Carley's website. I believe she's a medical maverick and will be remembered as a champion for human and health rights and the idea of self-help. Before we introduce Dr. Carley, I'd like to read something from her website. Conclusion: the emerging viruses and other biowarfare agents are emerging from government-funded laboratories. The intentional exposure of the American people to these agents via aerosols, chemtrails, and inoculations constitutes genocide against the American people and treason by all public officials who are aiding and abetting this conspiracy. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carley.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
That is an absolute mouthful, and it shows that you're willing to come forward and name names. But there's probably not very many listeners out there who have not heard of vaccinations. But for the record and to get us started, can you explain what inoculation is and how it's utilized?
Well, the two words vaccination and inoculation are used interchangeably. And actually, if you look those words up in a medical dictionary, you'll find that the definition of vaccination is introduction of an agent for the purpose of causing immunity, whereas inoculation is the introduction of an agent for the purpose of causing disease. And they talk about this a lot in terms of doing animal testing. You know, when they're using lab animals to test different things, they inoculate them with diseases. Well, what people have to realize is that that's actually what they're doing with you. And it's not just a matter of the bacteria and viruses that are being injected into people. It's also the mechanism whereby that injection corrupts the immune system. And the mechanism whereby that happens is explained in the paper on my website entitled Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction. But briefly, what happens is that the T cells, which are like the little Pac-Man cells that are supposed to be gobbling up bacteria, viruses, tumor cells, etc., are immobilized when these viruses are injected into you. And because of adjuvants especially, which are things intentionally put in inoculations to make the B cells, which make antibody, create more antibody, the B cells go into hyperdrive. And what they're actually doing is creating antibodies that are actually attacking you. And this is how I realized that all autoimmune diseases and cancer are primarily due to the inoculation.
How did you get involved with this issue? I mean, I read the stuff on your website, and it's absolutely infuriating and devastating what's happening. But how did you become involved with this, and how is it devastating our gene pool? People need to know that.
Okay. Well, so how I became involved with this, it was certainly the last thing I ever expected to be doing. I was actually trained as a surgeon, and that was my plan, to be a surgeon. I was actually going to be a pediatric surgeon. But my own son, who is now 10 years old, was actually brain damaged from inoculations because, just like everybody else, I was brainwashed into believing that vaccinations were a good thing. And he got all of his vaccinations, and it was actually a very important synchronicity that happened in my life. I had gone to a naturopath in order to get some help with the two problems that I had, endometriosis and a non-union fracture, and the homeopathic remedies that were given to me actually cured both of those problems. I had never even learned the word homeopathy in medical school, and it's, of course, as soon as I took them and cured these problems, I knew why, because they cure you. And she just happened to mention that there were ways to detoxify the harmful effects of vaccination. And I gave my son these remedies, and he became a different child. And that's when the Ford light went off in my brain. I realized to my horror that all of these problems going on must be from the inoculations, because once I started doing research into this, of course, you know, there was no such thing as cancer before inoculations came around. And inoculations have been around for a long time. People don't realize, but a man by the name of Edward Jenner, actually started with the smallpox inoculations back in the late 17th century. But I have a couple of references actually from doctors in the 18th century saying that they'd never seen a case of cancer before inoculations came out. So as I started investigating into this, and of course I realized that the increasing immunization schedule is, of course, what's making the children sicker and sicker today, not to mention the fact that there are, you know, multiple generations of inoculees now, and the inoculations do not leave your body. The only way I know of to get rid of these viruses is by using homeopathy. And as a matter of fact, in the CDC response that I have on my website, which is what you quoted from, I actually go back into the medical books and find certain things that are said there. In fact, as stated in Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, the sixth edition, which is from the early 70s, it actually says, rarely is prevention of infection per se considered to be an important goal of vaccination. In fact, asymptomatic infection after vaccination can serve to enhance and prolong the immune response. That's a direct quote from that book. Now, of course, we're made to believe that they're causing an antibody response and the antibodies are going to fight these germs if and when they should ever come into your body. But, of course, as I said, it's actually corrupting the immune system and causing the antibodies to just keep being produced. And the two limbs of the immune system cannot work simultaneously. There's a give and take. You know, when the B cells are going crazy, the T cells are pretty much paralyzed. So that's how I realized that it's known that vaccinations actually give you a chronic form of the disease. But worse yet than that is the fact that they're causing all of the chronic autoimmune diseases and cancer. So it's very important for people to realize this, because there's all kinds of, you know, death and suffering happening because of the inoculations. In fact, most cases of shaken baby syndrome are actually from inoculations, and sudden infant death syndrome as well. And this is a holocaust on humanity, and that's, I had to speak up. I decided that I was going to start talking about these issues, and it's been a very interesting ride since I started doing that. But people have to be aware of the fact that this inoculation program, and especially now as they're trying to scare us with the bird flu will be caused by the bird flu inoculations. In fact, in my local paper here in Florida, it was very telling one day. They had an article about how they're not really finding the bird flu in any wild fowl. It's all the domestic birds that are having it. Of course, the domestic birds are being vaccinated with the bird flu, and that's how they're getting the bird flu.
I'd like to back up a second here for our listening audience. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what the idea of homeopathy is?
Yes, homeopathy uses the principle of like cures like. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting that it's pretty much the same principle as vaccinations, only the difference is with vaccinations, they're actually injecting you with the very agent that they're saying they want you to become immune to. However, homeopathy uses the energy of a certain substance or a toxin or a germ, whatever. It's so diluted that there's not actually anything left of the actual poison in the remedy that's going to hurt you. And so what it does is it gives your body the stimulus to push whatever poison out. That's clinical homeopathy that I'm talking about, which is what I teach people about. Classical homeopathy is a little different. That's where Samuel Hahnemann, actually, who developed homeopathy, had done a lot of different testing and found that there were certain remedies made out of plants, animals, different things that actually caused the same symptoms as the particular, you know, problem, whatever it may be. And once again, in a very dilute form, when these same substances are given that cause the same symptoms, they will actually reverse the problem that you have. It uses like cures like. So that's in a nutshell what homeopathy is.
Well, that's like the natural immunity. It seems
exactly.
It ought to go that way.
Yes. It stimulates your natural immunity.
You also made a statement that you were brainwashed. Were you brainwashed as a physician, as a parent, as a citizen?
I was brainwashed as a physician. And I actually realized that that's one reason that they keep medical students so sleep-deprived, because, as I said, this information is actually in my medical books. This one particular book, Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, that I was quoting from, is the book that's used to teach internal medicine to medical students all over the country, and I'm sure in other countries as well. It's the Bible for internal medicine. But what happens is you're reading it in a sleep-deprived state. You know, we don't eat very well in medical school. There's no time for really going out. There's many meals that consist of candy bars and diet soda, and you're so nutritionally deprived and sleep-deprived that you don't have any long-term memory to remember these things. So they put it in the book so that down the line they can say, well, we told you, you see, and that basically they believe relieves them of responsibility for what they're doing. But, you know, you just don't remember this stuff, and you don't have enough your mind working in order to ask logical questions and have critical thinking going on. In medical school, we had 10 hours of nutrition and 2 years of pharmacology, and that pretty much tells it all. The medical institutions are very much controlled by the pharmaceutical cartels at this point, and that's why homeopathy is not even mentioned. As a matter of fact, I've heard that the Samuel Hahnemann Medical School in Pennsylvania is no longer even allowed to teach homeopathy, which is really pretty funny since it was named after this man that developed this technique a long time ago. So that is the situation, and the brainwashing in medical school is very, very, you know, intentional, and they basically get you to believe that there's no other way to go than the pharmaceutical, you know, cutting, burning techniques that the doctors use. And the reason they do that, obviously, is because they want people to be sick, because that's the only way that they sell their pharmaceuticals. They're not at all interested in healing. As a matter of fact, the books that the AMA puts out talk about disease management. You get a disease, and they manage your disease by giving you a drug which has side effects, and then they give you another drug to handle those side effects, and it's a never-ending downward spiral in health because all of these drugs are very toxic. In my opinion, there's a natural way to go for almost every disease. I have not yet found a disease that doesn't have a natural way to deal with it.
Should people get, I have two questions here, and I have some coming in from the internet. Should people use homeopathy before they get an immunization, or is this something used after the damage is done?
Well, there is a technique of homeopathic immunization, basically. You can take the homeopathic remedies as an immunization itself to protect you from the disease. As a matter of fact, if you get a disease like chickenpox, there's homeopathic remedies you can take to make the chickenpox virus come out of you much faster and have a much milder case of the disease. I would hope that anyone that listens to me would not get immunized because, of course, yes, there's remedies that you can take to reverse the damage, but it's much better to not cause the damage in the first place.
Well, a lot of us have already been brainwashed. And when I look at this other quote on your website that says, besides population reduction, the financial motivation of these policies is crystal clear, as reported by John, I think it's Hui, MD. This is the quote, the combined profits of the 10 drug companies in the Fortune 500, and in parentheses, $3.5 billion, were more than the profits of all the other 490 businesses put together, $33.7 billion. Now, that kind of money is certainly an incentive to not use something natural and to go to something pharmaceutical. So you're telling me that all this devastation of our children is money-driven?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I always ask parents, what do you need to go to the pediatrician for? What does the pediatrician do? They weigh and measure your child, and they start giving them inoculations. You can weigh and measure your own child, and the inoculations that are given is what starts the disease process, the ear infections, the asthma, the allergies, arthritis. I have a little 2-year-old client with insulin-dependent diabetes. Can you imagine having to inject a little baby with insulin 3 times a day? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the pediatricians would not even be necessary if there were no inoculations given by them. And as a matter of fact, many pediatricians do not inoculate their own children, which lets you know that they know what they're doing. They definitely know.
A lot of parents that are being threatened by the school system, by the state, where are these rules coming from that we have to get these inoculations?
Well, it's very deep, actually, how the whole thing started. People don't realize that through the process of getting birth certificates and marriage licenses, the state actually owns your children. You don't own anything. And so the state is basically acting as a parent on behalf of the child, and it's the state policy to inoculate children with disease. And so if you refuse to do it, they can call it medical neglect. Just like if you homeschool, they can call it educational neglect. This is how they've gotten control of the children. What I teach people to do is when you're going in and they're trying to force you to inoculate your children to go to school, to say, okay, I'll agree to inoculate my child as long as you will sign a piece of paper stating that you will be personally responsible for any death or disease caused by the inoculation. They will never sign that paper, and therefore the school backs off. I've never had anybody that had a problem after they try that technique. So that's a very important thing for people to realize. And my answer to people when they talk about these things is, you know, as you said, Sherry, our children are our most valuable resource. Our children are our life, and we have to stand up for them. If enough people would just say no, it would be over. You know, you can't just bow to fear and pressure. You have to do the right thing. And if enough people would do the right thing, they would have to stop this.
Is there other websites that you can refer people to that have lists of doctors who will help people through this and help them with the damage and use homeopathy and give them these resources? This thing you just came up with about just make it or ask them to sign a paper saying they'll be responsible for the damage, I wish I had known that. We had an employee that she was actually threatened with jail because she would not inoculate her children, and they even called her physician because they had to be listed with the school office, and had him try to pressure her into giving these kids these inoculations. He finally just refused to see her children if she wouldn't have them inoculated. That's pressure from a school system to a doctor.
Yes.
I can understand the drug companies and their incentive, but what's the incentive of the school system to do this?
Well, the schools only get federal funding if at least 90% of the children are inoculated. So that's first of all. Second of all, once they get autism, ADD, learning disabilities, and other things of that nature, the schools get a lot more money for the children once they have that label on them. So it's all about cash. That's the incentive. As far as other doctors that do what I do, I don't know of any other doctor that does what I do. There's other doctors that deal with the mercury issue. The mercury is just a distraction. Mercury is, of course, a toxic poison and has no business being in anything that's injected into children. And the only reason that they're starting to admit that mercury is bad now is because they want people to believe that if they take the mercury out, vaccines will be safe. However, there is no such thing as a safe vaccine. And as a matter of fact, I offered a $1,000 reward to any pediatrician, immunologist, CDC official, etc., who would come on my radio show and debate these two articles that are on my website. And, of course, there are no takers. They will not do so because they know that it's true. And I do have clients all over the world. I don't have to see people. I take a very detailed history from people and find out what they've been exposed to, because it's not just inoculations. If you click on the diagrams on my homepage, the first diagram is the big picture. And on that one piece of paper, it explains the cause of all diseases. Basically, you get multiple assaults to your immune system. Besides the inoculations and pharmaceuticals, there's, of course, chemicals and pesticides and everything else you could imagine, even psychic assaults, legal abuse. There's all kinds of things that we encounter every day. And as these assaults mount up, eventually you reach critical mass, and then your body develops a symptom, which is its way of telling you there's a problem. And the last thing, in my opinion, you should be doing is going to a white coat to get some kind of a drug to cover up the symptom, because in actuality, most of the drugs actually cause the very problem that they're given to treat. And you'll see that yourself if you look in the physician's desk reference. The psychiatric drugs are the classic example. You know, antidepressants can cause depression, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the problem that we're dealing with. And so what I do with my protocol is I find out a list of the assaults for each person, and then I develop a protocol to teach them what I would do if I was them. I don't practice medicine anymore. I teach them how to detoxify these various assaults and what other natural supplements and remedies are out there that they can use to repair the damage. And it works for every disease.
How can people get in touch with you to find out more about what you do?
Well, my phone number is 321-984-5350. That's 321-984-5350. And my email is drcarley@drcarley.com. My website is drcarley.com, drcarley.com, and my confirmation is also listed on there, as well as other things. I wrote the Hippocratic Oath. There's also questions that I would ask the White Coat if I were you when you go to them. And it's actually pretty funny, the responses I've gotten back from people that go to the doctor and ask them these questions. There's 6 questions for cancer and diseases that shut down the immune system, such as AIDS, and then 6 questions for autoimmune diseases. And it's really quite amazing. I've had people tell me that the doctor, told the patient they were harassing him, or they'll, run out of the room and say they have an emergency phone call to make, or they'll even tell the person that they can't see them anymore because they're so threatened by having these questions asked, because it puts it right in their face that they have no clue what they're doing. And many doctors do realize that there's a lot of doctors stepping out of the box and going into more natural type approaches. But as far as I'm concerned, the ones who know what they're doing and keep on doing it, they're selling their soul for cash. It's a very difficult thing to do what I did, to leave it all behind after 17 years of education after high school and training and residency and all these things, and hundreds of thousands of dollars of school loans for medical school. And of course there's much more money to be made when you're working in the box. I made 10 times what I make now as a surgeon, but of course now I'm actually helping people and it's much more rewarding.
Are there support groups that you can lead people to that have had damaged children while they're going through your protocol?
Well, there's been a lot of people that have wanted me to start such a thing. It's been very difficult because I'm basically a one-person operation and I'm so busy I haven't had the chance to do that. I also do have a problem occasionally where people will want to talk to people that have done the protocol, and then it turns out that they're a mole of some type, and they have another agenda, let's put it that way. So to protect my clients, I really don't do that, although many of them do want to talk to other people. So maybe at some point one of them will start a support group, I'm not sure. But I'm here to answer questions anytime. I'm kind of like the support group, and I need to answer their questions because there's all kinds of amazing things that happen as you walk backwards through your disease. That's what homeopathy does, is it actually causes you to walk backwards through the disease. And people do get what's called a healing crisis or detox symptoms as this is happening, as their body finds a way to push the poison out. Many different things are possible. You can get a little bit of diarrhea or a runny nose, or I even had one autistic child who cried his toxins out, which was quite amazing because, as a rule, they're not very emotional children. But there's all kinds of different things that could happen. But you never get so sick that you're in bed or anything like that. It's just a mild reaction. Oftentimes, the children, especially that have had all these vaccines, will get all kinds of strange rashes. And that's good because that's the virus finally being able to come out of the body.
Can you talk a little bit about this crazy government organization that pays parents when their kids get damaged?
Yes, well, that's a fund that's paid over $1 billion, and that's $1 billion with a B, dollars, to parents with vaccine-damaged children. It's been enforced since the late 80s, and, of course, this is something that we're paying for. The pharmaceutical companies don't even pay into it. It's paid through the government, and it's very difficult to get a lawsuit through that special program. You actually have to get an attorney that specializes in these types of cases, and there's all kinds of hoops that you have to jump through that you don't normally have to jump through in cases, just regular litigation. and they actually have what's called a special master, and this is the judge who decides these cases. And I've seen many of these cases thrown out, you know, just because they'll say, well, there's no proof that this is what caused the damage or whatever the case may be. It's usually only in cases where there's a very short time span between the inoculation and the damage. As a matter of fact, they actually set a time limit. If it's over a certain number of weeks, they will not even consider that it could be vaccine damage. And, of course, if your immune system is working somewhat, oftentimes it takes some time for the damage to develop, especially with the autoimmune problems, including autism. I've had children that became autistic the same day they got their MMR, and they just, you know, started having seizures and fevers and all of a sudden lost the ability to talk. And I've had some children that it took months for them to slowly decline. But that's the problem, is that they will not admit that this is a self-evident thing with the vaccinations. And once again, in this Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, back in the old days, in the 70s, they talk about the fact that the vaccines can cause all these demyelinating diseases. And I have three editions of that book. The latest one in 2005 doesn't even bring up any of these things because it's getting too obvious that this problem is happening. And in this 1970s version of Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, and I'm quoting again, it actually says, the association of the neurologic disorder with vaccination or inoculation usually leaves the diagnosis in little doubt. You see, because it's self-evident. It's just like if you stub your toe and your toe turns purple and it's hurting a lot, you know that it's, you know, looking like that because you stubbed your toe. But somehow with inoculations, you know, you inject these things into the children and they get all these different problems, and it's just a coincidence. It's just a coincidence. That's what they say. Your child was going to be autistic anyways. It's all your fault. You know, it's those genes. There's actually very few diseases that are genetic in origin. There's a few. Cystic fibrosis, polycystic kidneys are two. But most of the time, and what I tell people is that what you inherit from your parents is your constitution, which is your immune system. And if your immune system is strong, your immune system will take care of all these problems. And as a matter of fact, you develop lifelong natural immunity when you get a disease in the way you're supposed to get a disease, which is usually by inhaling it or ingesting the pathogen, like with children that are playing and they put their hands in their mouth and, you know, they've got germs on them. Well, that's how their immune system learns how to work. And this, you know, non-natural synthetic immunity that they claim that they're causing, they're actually giving you a chronic state of the disease, and it has no way to exit your body, because when the viruses are injected into you, you're bypassing something called secretory IgA, which is a very important antibody that lines the upper respiratory and GI tracts. And this is what our Creator gave us to start processing the antigens in order to have them further on down the line develop a natural immune response. This is bypassed when the viruses are inoculated into you. And that's how the corruption of the immune system starts.
There is so many things that you're saying that are tying in to the questions that people are sending in on the internet here. One of them is, what could a parent look for in their children as vaccination damage that isn't as obvious as headbanging and autism?
Well, pretty much anything. One of the most common things out there now are these food allergies. And, of course, it's really sick. They're actually developing vaccines now for peanut allergies when the peanut allergies are caused by the vaccines in the first place. But let me explain how that happens. You develop something called leaky gut, and this is because the vaccination antibodies that are produced are actually making little holes in the GI tract, and the blood vessels become able to pick up the food particles before they're thoroughly digested. And once the food particles, and there's certain foods, as everybody knows, corn and wheat and peanuts are three of them that are much more allergenic. And if you're eating those substances and you have a leaky gut and those undigested particles get into your bloodstream, your immune system sees those as foreign and develops antibodies against those substances. And that's what a food allergy is. And that's why you get allergies to the things that you eat the most, because that's what you're being exposed to. And just think how crazy it is, Sherry, of what the white coats do. They've developed this process of giving allergy shots. So here is your immune system saying, you know, we don't want this stuff. And what do? They give you more. They inject it into you. And what this basically does is just wipes out your immune system until finally your immune system says, okay, you know, do it. Give me all the peanuts you want. Just keep on injecting them into me. And this is how that works. But any symptom, anything you can possibly imagine, I have clients with every disease you can possibly imagine. All of the neurological diseases, the only way to get seizures is from head trauma or vaccines, period, in my opinion. Now, there's certain things that will tend to, bring it up to the surface, such as aspartame is a big one. But if you hadn't had any damage to your brain from the inoculations, you wouldn't be getting, you know, the seizures, in my opinion, with even the aspartame to begin with. But all of these things, I mean, if you look on the second diagram on my website, which is the one that explains what vaccinations do, it's, you know, asthma, allergies, arthritis, diabetes, lupus is where you're allergic to your own DNA, and all of the neurological conditions. In fact, even criminal behavior. There's an excellent book entitled Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality by Harris Coulter. And I do want to mention one website, thinktwice.com. Thinktwice.com, that's one word. That has the best selection of vaccine books that I've ever seen. And that book by Harris Coulter is available on that website. And in his book, he actually describes how the vaccinations are contributing to criminal behavior. There's a part of the brain called the hypothalamus, and we studied this in medical school. We had cats that we would put needles into parts of their hypothalamus, and there's, you know, parts you would stimulate that would cause them to become enraged or very lethargic, to make them overeat or become emaciated. And these are the parts of the brain that are being damaged in the children that are becoming like the Columbine type, you know, children. I'm not saying it's just that. Of course, the violence on television and the psychiatric drugs are also highly involved in that as well. But all of these things together are what's causing all of these problems in the children.
We've got a dozen questions here that need to be asked, and I just don't know which one to go first. Here's a great one. We've been warned about mutations. How can they think, I guess they as the drug companies, a particular vaccination today will guard against the mutation of tomorrow? That is a great question.
Yes. Well, first of all, vaccines don't guard you against anything. They give you the disease. So that's why it's so insane. For example, all the soldiers that were forced to get the vaccinations with anthrax, even though Saddam didn't have any weapons of mass destruction, even if he had anthrax and it has been weaponized, that's exactly true. That it's very likely that the antibodies created against the anthrax injection would not even work against the antibody against the weaponized anthrax. And yes, this is very true. And I also want to mention that they're now developing DNA vaccines where they actually put plasmids of DNA. These are little circular rings of DNA into the vaccines, and those can actually incorporate into our very genetic structure.
Well, so that's one of the questions somebody sent in. Can you comment on DNA vaccinations? You want to expand on that a bit?
Yes, those are the worst. Those are the worst. As a matter of fact, the program director at the CDC in charge of immunizations, his name is William Atkinson, and I've gone back and forth with him quite a bit in regards to my work, and of course he refuses to comment on it except for to ask me when he's going to be tried for crimes against humanity. These people are so arrogant. But his email address is plasmid1, so apparently he considers himself the top plasmid. But these are the most dangerous vaccines of all. As a matter of fact, you could kind of think of it as the mark of the beast. If they're going to put plasmids of DNA into us that are going to alter our genetic structure, and of course that will be transmitted to future generations, it's purely insane that they're doing this.
There's a question came in by email marked urgent, urgent, and this is from Motley in California. Can a company legally demand that its employees get vaccinations even though there is no outbreak of something like this, like the flu?
Well, that's a tough one. Can they legally demand? I'm not sure. That would be a very good question to ask Ralph, because, see, unfortunately, what these companies do, and sometimes it's true with, you know, hospitals telling nurses they have to get inoculated and things of that nature, what they'll do is they'll just say that that's their policy, and if you don't decide to do what they want you to do, then you can just go get another job. So that's a really tough one. Can they legally demand it? Well, I would try the same thing that I suggested with the students, to tell them, okay, I'll be happy to get your inoculation as long as you sign a document stating that you will be personally responsible if I, you know, obtain any disease or anything bad happens to me after the inoculation. But you see, what they can do is then just hire somebody else who's willing to go along with the program. But that would be a really good question to ask Ralph Fusatola. That's more his area of expertise.
Well, that it would be really tough to give up your employment and your retirement and your health coverage and everything else over a stupid flu shot. And the Ralph Fusatola that you're referring to, we had on the show a couple of weeks ago dealing with health rights.
Yes, but I just want to comment on what you said, Sherry, because, yes, it's very hard to give up all those things. But what's harder, to get an inoculation and a flu shot and end up with Guillain-Barré syndrome and be, you know, bedridden for the rest of your life? You see, this is what people have to consider. They figure, well, let me just take it and I'll probably be okay. But you see, once you do that and you develop one of these diseases and you're suffering, I can assure you that no amount of money is worth that.
Well, Ralph sent in a question that deals with this. He said he had read that when there's a flu shortage, there was less flu reported, less outbreaks. Would you comment?
Flu vaccine shortage, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Of course, because the flu vaccine gives you the flu. That's what they're doing. They're giving you the flu. As a matter of fact, I always crack up when people tell me how they got the flu shot, and then they got the flu, and then their doctor told them how lucky they were that they got the flu, because they would have gotten a much stronger case had they not gotten the flu shot. In other words, it's just a coincidence that you got the flu shot once again. You would have had a much stronger case had you not gotten the flu shot. It's totally insane. And once again, there's homeopathic remedies for the flu. There's even homeopathic remedies for the bird flu. There's homeopathic remedies that can take care of all of these things. And that's why I suspect that Codex, which Ralph is in the forefront trying to fight this totally unethical and immoral infringement on our human rights to take whatever we want supplement-wise to keep us healthy, I'm sure that's just a matter of time before they try to bring homeopathy into that, because homeopathy is such a big threat. As a matter of fact, the medical doctors call homeopathy quackery, and they claim that, you know, it's just a placebo effect when you get well when you take homeopathy. Well, once you've got enough millions of placebo effects, you know, it starts to look like it's not a placebo anymore.
Absolutely. A next question just flows into this. When they give you a flu shot and there's many strains, how do they know which strain to give you?
Because they're giving you the flu. You see, and that's a very important question. There's like 80 different varieties of the flu virus. So obviously, how could they possibly know what strain of the virus is going to come around? And the answer is because they're causing that strain to come around because they're giving it in the flu shot. So that's the answer. They're giving the strain of flu that's in the flu shot. So that's how they know, because they're giving it.
In the programs that we do when we take vocal analysis,
mm-hmm.
we can watch the strain mutate and we can make an antidote to it with frequency. We
mm-hmm.
need to join with your group so we can work hand in hand.
Oh, yes. There's many different energy technologies out there. As a matter of fact, my dream is to start the Heaven Sun Healing Center and to bring all of these things together in one place where people could come and use whatever they feel comfortable with or whatever works for them because, you know, not everything works for everybody, but to have all kinds of different healers together in one place that could, you know, bring some healing to this country. And that's my goal eventually, to do that.
There's an email here, and the subject says, grr. It's awful. I mean, for her to, I just need to read you what she says. It's from Rhonda in California. In California, hepatitis vaccinations are forced on the day of a baby's birth. Does a baby really have any way to deal with an immune response before the baby's first milk from its mother? I've heard that more babies die from the vaccine, I guess she means hepatitis, than the disease. Is this true?
Yes.
I've had friends who moved out of the state of California because of the situation. Can Dr. Carly comment?
Yes, it's very true. The vaccinations, just like in the military, there's more people in the military dying and being made sick from their inoculations than are even being killed in gunfire. And, of course, the answer is the baby has no way of dealing with this. As a matter of fact, it's very funny if you think of how they're always trying to scare people with mosquito-borne illnesses and ticks and other vectors, and how dangerous these insects are, and how you must, you know, slather yourself with DEET so that you won't get bit by a mosquito and get the West Nile virus. Well, what do you think is more dangerous, a tiny little mosquito with a little bit of virus in his proboscis, or the white coat with a whole syringe full? And I've had children that have gotten as many as 10 inoculations on one day. And I've also had parents in states where they don't mandate that the hepatitis B vaccine be given on day one of birth. They still try to push it, and I've even had a couple of clients that, you know, put on the front of the chart, my child is not to receive inoculations, the way they, you know, keep promoters at bay is to say, I'm just going to wait, you know, because technically, legally, you don't have to have them inoculate until they go to school. So that's how they get by that. They just say that they'll wait until they're ready to go to school. But I've had a couple of clients that actually got the medical records and found out that the child was inoculated against their wishes. They're just so determined to stick that needle into the child. And, of course, the side effects are just legion, especially in a little baby of that age. And then at 2 months old, they start with the other inoculations, and they just keep on shooting them up. And may I also say that it's not even just people, it's pets as well. I have reversed cancer, diabetes, seizures, all kinds of things in pets as well with my protocol. They're doing this to every breathing mammal on the face of the planet, including our food sources.
Here is a comment that I want to read, and then I just received two emails that just want to make you cry. The comment is from TP, and he says, for those of us baby boomers who are inoculated, what extent can the damage be reversed using homeopathics? And also, could we shield ourselves from cancer by doing this and using sound? It would be interesting to see these alternatives work in tandem.
Yes.
Good comment, TP.
Well, let me just say, this is how I explain it to people. There's three things in my experience that determine how well whatever your problem is going to be reversed. The first, of course, is, are you going to do the things that I suggest? That's key. If you're only going to take the remedies, you know, once every few days, it's not going to work. The second is, how old is the person? Because the older the person, the harder it is for the body to repair itself. That's just common sense. And the other thing is, how long have they had the problem? If you've had insulin-dependent diabetes for 25 years, it's not probable that it's going to be completely reversed. However, you never know. You never know until you try. And certainly, you're going to get better. So, but as far as complete reversals in long-standing chronic cases, that's very difficult.
We've seen that with sound, because the system that we use, just like this PrEVAC we talked about last week, we can look at the root cause. Like a lot of older men, the measles vaccine is causing peripheral neuropathy, and we can watch why that's happening. The gut isn't allowed to make etiocobalamin,
mm-hmm.
which is a form of B12. So I think these two systems are going to work well together.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have time for these questions. I certainly hope. I just want to read this. It's from Sandra, and it doesn't really say where she's from. and I'll just read it. I took a paper and pencil test once to see if I had any risk factors. They were stupid. I understand the ones about am I pregnant, but there were questions like had I ever been in jail, am I a man who has sex with a man, what year was I born, did I live in a dorm, did I have asthma, was my spleen removed, I can't remember the rest. But my question is, these questions were never asked of me about my children, nor were they asked of my children before the shots were given at school. I don't want my children vaccinated for health reasons, not for religious reasons. What are my options?
Well, see, that's very interesting. Now, they do have, in some states, they have philosophical objections. There's also religious exemptions and medical exemptions, although there's no doctor in the United States, to my knowledge, at this point that gives medical exemptions, because as soon as you do, you lose your license. But, of course, one would have to ask the question, why aren't you allowed to have a health objection? Why aren't you allowed to say, I've done my research, and I've determined that this is not something I want to have in my child, that I prefer to build their immune system with natural supplements and healthy eating, et cetera, et cetera. Why is that not allowed? So to that person, what I would suggest doing is what I said earlier. Tell them that you will agree to have it done, but only if they agree to take full responsibility, personal responsibility. That means the money comes out of their pocket if anything bad happens. And even the vaccine information statements put out by the CDC themselves, you know, list deaths and seizures and all kinds of other things as a possible reaction. Of course, they say that it's very rare. But once it does happen, they'll never admit that it's actually from the vaccine. So the amount of true vaccine reactions is so underreported, it's not even funny. But unfortunately, the only option he really has is to do what I suggested, because there is no such thing as a health care exemption, you know, that you've checked into it and determined that it's not something you want to do because the dangers outweigh the benefits in your opinion.
Well, there's one comment from Noah, and then we have one question from Roger in Montana that breaks my heart. But Noah says, if we work toward building better immune systems, do you think we would need these vaccinations? Why not go that route? It seems more reasonable.
Well, we don't need the vaccines. The vaccines are causing the disease. I have to keep saying that. All these diseases, asthma, allergies, arthritis, diabetes, lupus, MS, et cetera, et cetera. So imagine the impact it will have on the pharmaceutical companies if the vaccines are stopped. That's why they're fighting this so hard, as more and more people wake up. The pharmaceutical companies will go broke. They will absolutely go broke because nobody's going to want to buy their drugs if they're not sick. So, of course, it makes more sense to boost the immune system, and that's what we should all be doing. And we should not be coerced by the government to get ourselves inoculated. As a matter of fact, President Bush, from what I understand, has already signed an executive order that's going to force everybody to get the bird flu vaccine as soon as bird flu appears in this country. But I'm going to say no. And if everybody else says no, what are they going to do?
Well,
you know, they can't stop all of us from exercising our human right to have control over our own body.
We have created a computer program to monitor people for exposure to that, too. And a comment from me, as I see people in our clinic, I'm noticing that people are less hardy, much less hardy than they used to be, particularly the children.
Yes.
And now this one question that just breaks my heart. What can the public do to help us in the military who are being forced to take inoculations that are known to be dangerous?
Well, unfortunately, what people that go into the military don't realize is that you're actually agreeing to become a guinea pig. And as from what I understand, Bill Clinton had signed an executive order that basically if somebody in the military tells you to take a pill, swallow this, roll up your sleeve, get this injection, you have no right to say no. So I don't know of any way for anybody in the military to get out of it. But certainly once they're free, I would definitely detoxify themselves and get those inoculations out of them, because these the soldiers are getting so sick. All of them are going to have problems down the line because in the military, the cocktail of inoculations that they give you is extremely high. And especially if those children or if those young people have also been highly inoculated as children.
Well, this
that's
guy goes
right
on,
over the edge.
This guy goes on to talk about the coercion, the court martials.
Yes.
It's just heartbreaking to listen to this.
Right.
And
well, unfortunately, people are not told these things before they go into the military. They go into the military believing that they're doing the right thing and that they're going to defend our country and things of that nature, and not told of the ramifications of what's going to be done to them and how they actually have no rights. And then, of course, there's the other matter of should we be in a war in Iraq in the first place. There's all kinds of things involved in this. So, yes, it's evil. It's very evil what's being done to the military. And unfortunately, because of the fact that they've signed in agreeing to have these things done to them without knowing, there's not much that can be done once they're in there, unless they're willing to stand up and say no. And yes, maybe they'll be court-martialed, but would you rather be court-martialed or be dead or have some chronic disease that's going to make you suffer the rest of your life?
Well, our time has been too short. We want to have you back.
Okay.
This has been great. For our listeners, you can reach Dr. Carley at drcarley.com, D-R-C-A-R-L-E-Y. Phone number for Dr. Carley, 321-984-5350. And just a few reminders. Write to us. Tell us what you want to hear, what you want us to talk about, guests that you would like to see us have on the show. If you want to get involved in our online classes, either about knowing your signature sound and how to hear it yourself, or having me hear it, get in touch. And we want to partner with you to bring all of this information to your community. You can join our classes, learn about this. Drop us a line at soundhealth@soundhealth.org. And if you like the show, let us know that too. I certainly appreciate all the comments that people have made about this. And there are several of our shows that are archived. Check the front page of bbsradio.com. Thought for the day. Everything that happens to you happens for a reason. It's what you do about it that makes the difference, whether you will live your life as a victim or a victor. Until next time, this is Sherry Edwards with Sound Health Radio on BBS Radio.
Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.